I imagine some of you may have heard this story. Thanks, Richard. Some of you may have read this week, but according to a study by a group called the PNC Wealth Management Group, if someone were to actually do the 12 days of Christmas, to purchase everything from the 12, what are they? 12, yeah, all of those. Drummers drumming, lords a-leaping, to rent, hire, or purchase each of those on each of the days of Advent, of Christmas, of the 12 days, that it would actually cost today $78,100. That's what it costs to show your true love. The National Retail Federation is forecasting that that Americans will spend somewhere between $450 and $500 billion at Christmas this year. That's an average of close to $1,000 per family just on Christmas gifts. And after the holidays, we'll be working for months and months to pay off those holiday bills. One study said that the average American doesn't finish paying their Christmas gift bills until August, which gives you about 2 months until you start buying again. Now, on the weekend after Thanksgiving, my family and I went up to Chicago to visit Melissa's cousin who lives up there. And we walked around downtown a little bit. It was my first time there. And it was really crowded. I mean, there were a lot of people out shopping. And we managed to only go in one store. We went into the American Girl store. Kobe and I wandered around kind of in a daze, a little confused, a little scared. There were literally hundreds upon hundreds of moms and dads with their little girls, spending hundreds upon hundreds of dollars buying dolls. So as we're kind of wandering around in the state of shock, found a little line, and we were standing in the line until we realized that this line was for the American Girl Hair Salon, where you can spend even more money to give your doll a hairdo that loosely resembles that of its new owner. So we walked out of the store, and just down the sidewalk, about 10, 15 yards from the queue to get in, there's the Salvation Army bell ringer standing there. And I watched just for a few minutes as families who had been in such a rush and such a frenzy to spend money inside the store walked quickly past, trying not to make eye contact with the bell ringers. You know what? That's the tension behind the Advent conspiracy. It's not that buying an American Girl doll is wrong. It's not that gifts are wrong. I mean, gift giving and gift receiving is one of the just most beautiful, treasured parts of Christmas. The problem is, at the end of the month, do we really, I mean, if we're honest, do we really feel like we spent a month honoring Jesus? Or did we just go with the flow and buy into everything that was going on around us to have and to get and to buy? Frankly, to be really honest, if the things that the doll stands for are more important than the things the bell ringers stand for, we've completely missed the point. So in our scripture passage today, there's a similar clash of cultures going on. And this is kind of subtle. It's a clash of kingdoms. The angel comes to Mary and says, I'm going to give you a baby, and I'm going to put this baby on the throne of David, and it'll be an everlasting throne. Now, there are some serious ramifications. That's a revolutionary statement. And here's why. Because Mary lived in a country that was occupied by the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire was one that demanded obedience. Everybody who lived in this Roman Empire was required to basically pay homage to Rome and the emperor. It was an empire that stood for no rivals. It wouldn't have a rival. So the idea of setting up a throne, a king, in the Roman Empire meant one of two things. One, it either meant overthrowing Rome, or it meant you're going to die. Or maybe both. But here's what happened. You get this culture of the Roman Empire, where a culture that really controlled everything. And it was a culture that was whose values were greed, self-fulfillment, and ultimately self-preservation. It wanted nothing more than to maintain its grip on people's lives. Now, we don't live in a political empire like that today, but I think we live in a culture that has those same tendencies. There is a sort of empire that we're living in the middle of right now, this season. It's the empire of materialism and consumerism. It's the empire of greed, self-fulfillment, and a culture that wants nothing more than to maintain its grip on our lives by telling us what to buy, what to wear, what to have. So when the angel says, God is going to give you a baby, and this baby will be on the throne, what the angel is basically saying is, I am sending my own son. God is saying this. I am sending my own son to stand against that empire, to resist those values, and to say, there's another way. There is a deeper way. There's a more significant truth. And just as Jesus came to stand against that empire, I think Jesus stands against the consumer-driven materialism that pervades our culture today. I think Jesus came to stand against those values and to say, there's something more. There's a deeper truth. There's a more meaningful way. So as followers of Christ, the Advent conspiracy starts when we choose to resist a culture that tells us what we need to have. Now, one of my favorite parts of this story is one of the things that actually causes a lot of people to struggle with the whole idea of Christianity, and it's this idea of the virgin birth. So when this angel shows up and tells Mary that she's going to give birth to the very Son of God, Mary says, hey, wait a minute, how can this be? I'm a virgin. Now, kids, you can ask your parents, I told you, what that means on the car ride home. I'm going to try to avoid talking about what happens about 9 months before a baby is born. But here's the idea. Here's the amazing thing that's happening there. Everybody's looking around nervously. The reason that the virgin birth is so compelling to me is because it's God's way of saying, I am going to provide the missing ingredient for meaningful life. You don't have it in your own power to discover meaning, to find truth, to be with me. I'm going to provide, says God. I'm going to give you what's missing to discover life. What a gift. That's the gift of Christmas. It's the gift of Jesus. Jesus is what was missing that enables us to have salvation, to find life that's meaningful and significant right now, to find forgiveness, to find hope, to find peace. Skip the page. So as we follow Jesus towards that gift of life, inevitably, we come into conflict with the things that Jesus stands against, which are all of those things that you see on TV and ads and all of the impulses that we feel at Advent. So in this Advent journey, what we're asking each other to do is to rethink what we do and why we do it in light of the gift that God gave us in Jesus. Now, Don't get me wrong. I want to say something really clearly. I'm not opposed to gifts. I'm not opposed to spending money. That's not what I'm saying here, which hopefully is good news to any business owners out there. Giving gifts truly can be one of the most beautiful and sacred parts of this Christmas experience. But what we're talking about this morning is giving gifts in a way that honors Christ. So when I introduced this whole concept last week, there was one wise young man who pointed out to his father, if I remember right, Jesus got a lot of very valuable gifts on his birthday, the first Christmas. Just because Scott got gypped out of the gift he wanted doesn't mean I should. So you know what? I recognize that these words may come across a little difficult. I'm afraid that I'm going to be perceived as the Grinch who stole Christmas. But here's another way to think about it. Imagine going to a birthday party. Your friend invites you to a birthday party at the, I don't know, at the mall, and you're there with a bunch of your friends at this party, and people start coming up to you. It's somebody else's birthday party, but people start coming up to you and giving you presents. And, you know, they're giving some to the birthday boy too, but you start getting this collection of gifts. When the party's over, you're walking out of there with this, you've got more gifts than the kid whose birthday it is. How awkward would that feel? What do you think the chances are that that kid invites you back to his birthday party the next year? Christmas is Jesus' birthday. So we're trying to give and receive gifts in a way that honors Jesus. So that's why we want to say no to excessive spending this Christmas. But the reason we want to do that is so that we can have the ability to give more. Let me say a few things about giving more. Take just a second and think about some of your favorite memories with your parents, whatever age you are. Think about some of the best times you had with your parents, or maybe with your friends. Think about some of those just cherished memories that are going to last a lifetime. I would bet most of those memories have nothing to do with presents. They have to do with things you did together, time you spent together, places you went together. Probably not stuff you bought each other. What I want for you and your family this Christmas is for it to be a season that is so full of meaning. I want it to be a time where you create memories that last a lifetime. I want it to be a time where Jesus is right in the middle of everything you do. So we're encouraging each other to give gifts that matter, to give gifts that create memories, gifts that carry significance. Because we're saying no to overspending, we are invited to say yes to give in relational ways. God gave us a relational gift. He gave us Jesus so that we could have a relationship with Jesus, with God. Jesus, who was a real person. That's a relational gift. And so what we're trying to do is to reclaim the heart of what matters by giving each other relational gifts as well. Here's an example. Pictures, poems, pieces of art, a baseball game ticket that you go with, trips with dad, trips with mom. They all become relational alternatives to foster what matters most in life. And as we think about what it means to give ourselves to each other, then we stumble across what Advent's really about. Now, all you kids out there, I want you to listen to me for just a second. Everybody who came up here for the children's sermon, look at me. I have a challenge for you. I told you I was going to do this. I got to be honest. I gave my parents some pretty lousy gifts when I was a kid. Socks, tie. I think I gave my dad a packet of underwear once. bottles of cologne that probably are still sitting in my mom's cabinet. Kids, here's my challenge to you. When you go home today, grab your parents and say, "Mom, help me think of something fun to do with Dad, and let's make him tickets." That would be so much better than a tie. Or grab your dad and say, "Hey, Dad, let's make a craft for Mom." And then when you get married 30 years later, your mom will open this box and say, "Look what you made me for Christmas. I kept it because I love it." We're going to give you a bunch more ideas like that. But kids, you play a part this year. Make Christmas gifts that matter. Now listen, I want to be honest. We've never done this before. I've never done this Advent conspiracy thing before. This is kind of an experiment. We're going to see how it goes. All I can tell you is what's working in our house. Because as we start doing this, it's pretty cool. Kobe and Maya are genuinely excited about the gifts that we're going to give each other. Kobe and I are making a clever little gift for Melissa that, close your ears, that involves one of Kobe's favorite things in the world, the thing that he collects all the time wherever we go, sticks. Trust me, honey, it's going to be beautiful. And I have no idea what Melissa and Maya are making me, but I know they spent an hour in the basement yesterday together planning it. I can't wait to see it. I think it's all of those things are going to be so meaningful. I knew it was working when Kobe came up out of the blue the other day and said, "Hey, Dad, what can we make for Grandma?" They're getting it. I want to be honest. It's tricky to get our hands around this idea of spending less. That probably sounds like a pretty bad idea to a lot of us in this room, especially the ones of us who have our eyes on an Xbox 360. Yeah. But you know what's easy to get our hands around? You know what's compelling? This idea of giving more. Maybe that's where we start this year. I heard a story about a five-year-old girl who went out to dinner with her family, and they're walking out of the restaurant, and this girl's favorite thing to do on her way out is to get the little candy, little mints, you know, on a bowl as you're leaving. And she grabbed her mint and was so excited about it. And as they're walking down the street, they pass a homeless guy sitting there with a little cup, you know, asking for money. And they walked on past, and the little girl tugs on her mom or dad's arm and says, Who is that? What's he doing?" And the parents explain, "Well, he's just somebody that doesn't have a home or very much money." And she stands there for a second, and then she goes, "Can we give him my candy?" And they walked back and gave him the candy. That's what Advent is. I heard another story about a mom who was home with the kids one afternoon and had this great idea and baked cookies with the kids. You know, they mixed it together. The kids were pouring stuff in and mixing. Kids really like mixing, I guess. And then they made some tea, hot tea. And then they drove down together, mom and the kids, and took the tea and cookies to a shelter and gave it to the folks that were living there. That's what Advent is about. And I can tell you that from everything I read about the churches that are doing this Advent conspiracy, giving is so meaningful. And you know who's getting into it is more than anybody? The kids. Kids are good at giving. And they like it. So as challenging as this whole idea may be for us, remember Mary. Her part in this story was to become an unwed teenage mom who almost certainly was the object of scorn and criticism. I mean, legally, she could have been killed. She could have been stoned for being pregnant out of wedlock. And in the face of all of those snickers and people talking behind her backs, you know what she had to say? "Really, it's God's baby." Yeah. But look at Mary's response at the end of our passage this morning. I am your servant. In another translation, I am your bond servant. I am your slave. I belong to you. May it be as you have said. And the angel, a little earlier, says, nothing is impossible for God. Our prayer together this Advent is that we would celebrate the season in a way that honors Jesus. We're going to pray. I want to invite you to stand as we pray. If you would stand now. And we're going to do something else a little new. Always doing new things here. We're going to use our hands to pray. What I want to ask you to do, we'll all do it together so nobody will feel awkward or out of place. I just want to ask you to put your hands up like this with your palms up. This is a symbol of our desire to give and to receive good gifts this Christmas. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the gift you gave us. And God, as we stand here with our hands lifted up, open hands, would you lead us and guide us to know how to celebrate our relationships by giving gifts that matter. We give you thanks and we give you praise. We give you ourselves like Mary. May our lives be as you have said. Through Christ. Amen.